Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Excuse me. I need to rent 6 tanks, 80 cubic feet each, 4 regulators.
Sure thing. You going lake diving?
No.
Really? Is it a cavern? Because we just got these great new dive lights.
They are pretty. Tanks.
Washman, the sequence of a life form raised in the sand. Soaking up the thirst of the land.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. All right, so we go from Eric Douglas to Douglas Ebersole. Dr. Doug is his name. He's a heart surgeon extraordinaire, I don't know. Are you officially retired now, or are they still sucking you in where you got to work too much to fund diving?
You always say I'm a surgeon, but I'm actually an interventional cardiologist, but that's fine. Nobody knows the difference except the surgeons. The surgeons would definitely tell you I'm not a cardiac surgeon. But
how about Grand Poobah of heart attacks? Or no, I don't know.
Something like that.
I just don't know. He does it all, though. That's the bottom line. He knows his stuff when it comes to this.
Yeah, so I'm still working part-time. So I do mainly structural heart stuff, which will mean a little lot to you, but like valve replacements and valve repairs and closing holes in the heart and stuff like that.
Right.
But it's all elective. I don't do heart attack call anymore. I did that for 30 something years. So that makes my life much easier. So I have no nights, no weekends, no holidays, and no call. So that makes my job very easy. So I see people in the office a couple days a week, a couple days a month, for things like diving medicine stuff or some structural heart diseases that need procedures. And then I see people in follow-up afterwards and then just turn them back over. So that means a lot of my time is freed up for diving and teaching and that sort of thing.
That's right. And he is the go-to guy for Divers Alert Network in that regard, too. I know a lot of people call you up just to consult. I mean, he's just been a godsend to me, whether it was my heart issues and what we were just talking about with Eric and that kind of thing. Dr. Doug reached out to me then when this happened to me, and he just helped me out tremendously. And I've sent so many people his way, and he's very gracious with his time. So I kid, but he really is the guy. Let's be honest. I mean, the heart guru,
your first dive back we did together.
That's right. And the best part about that is when we're on the boat and I can't believe I got this heart guy on the boat with me. If anything goes wrong, I'm golden, right? And then he turns to me and goes, "Well, Greg, I really can't do squat for you if something happens underwater. That's not my specialty."
I don't have a lot of equipment with me here.
Yeah. So, but it was the thought that counts. And
that's right.
Just the moral support and the emotional, element of it meant a lot. It all crosses over. I mean, before we went on the air, Dr. Doug was telling me, like, "Hey, I was just reading Eric's latest books or going through his audio books and things like that." So you're kind of going through that whole Mike Scott thing that Eric has put out there on his website, too?
Oh,
is that right?
Yeah, I've been meaning to do it for years because actually when Eric wrote his book about his heart thing, he sent me some stuff to read, and I read through it and gave him some suggestions and so forth.
Right.
And so I've been wanting, and you've been talking about for years, obviously, the whole Mike Scott thriller series. So I've been driving the last few months. I've been doing a lot of teaching up in North Florida, so a lot of driving. So I had kind of a break in my Audible schedule of books I was reading, and I said, I should read, the Mike Scott series, because I just never have.
Right.
And I heard you guys advertise them all the time and all that sort of thing. So yeah. I started with the first one, and I think I'm on number 9 now. I've just gone back to back to back to back to back. They're actually outstanding. I thought they were going to be good. Don't get me wrong, but they're actually outstanding. I think he's done a great job.
He does. I mean, we kid. He's a friend. But it's very high quality entertainment, reading wise. And the audio books, some of them feature Cock Johnson as the reader, by the way.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're the better ones. The ones, the AI stuff. I see why he got CJ to do things. The AI is, it's okay.
Right.
But CJ does a great job. And of course, in the Turks and Chaos, you're in there talking.
Everybody played their own parts.
Everybody played their own part.
Yeah. It's nuts.
Puff's in the book, and Casey's in the book, and you're in the book, and yeah, it was great.
Right. Good stuff. Yeah, you know, unfortunately, we can't spend all our time underwater. We gotta have to manage that time on our surface interval. So that's a good way to kind of pass some of that time. All right, let's talk about some of the stuff you do. One of the things that you specialize in and consult divers around the world, not just in the States, I know, but is the hole in the heart thing, the PFO, which stands for?
Patent. Foramen ovale.
PFO. We'll just go with that.
Go with PFO.
So, and this problem is a high percentage of people just have this and have no idea, right?
Correct. It's a normal variant.
Yeah.
So 25, everyone has this flap when they're a fetus because it actually allows blood flow to bypass the right side of the heart and get to the lung, gets past the lungs because you're not using your lungs when you're a fetus.
Yeah.
And then when you're born, in about 75% of people, this little flap seals to make a solid wall, which means in 25% of people, it doesn't seal.
Right.
So I stress to people first, it's not a disease. Mm-hmm. Okay. This is a radio show, but I have blue eyes. Fewer than 10% of people have blue eyes. I'd like to think that's a normal variant, not a disease.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm also left-handed. Again, I'd like to think, fewer than 10% of people are left-handed. I like to think that's a normal variant.
No, that's a disease. I'm sorry to tell you. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, that's fine.
Yeah, so it's very, very common, and most people don't have any problems with it. But young people can have strokes because of it. Little blood clots that would normally go up to the right side of the heart mm-hmm. and get filtered by the lungs can cross over the flap and cause a stroke. So that's kind of where the majority of the information and where the indication for closure is in the U.S.
Right.
But bubbles can do the same thing.
Yeah.
So
and a lot of times you can go through life and not even have an issue if you're not a diver, right?
Right.
And that
the vast majority of divers never have a problem.
Right. Even if they have it. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it can pop up and obviously you've come across a lot of people and there's a lot of talk like if you get a test to find out if you have this variant or whatever, mm-hmm. should you have it fixed? If you want to be, like a career diver or you want to do this for real or do it, often because you are at a much higher risk of experiencing a problem or DCS or whatever, right?
Right. However, the relative risk, as best we can determine, mm-hmm. is that having a PFO will increase your risk of decompression sickness something like fivefold, okay, which sounds terrible.
Yeah.
However, you have to look at the absolute risk. So for recreational diving, the likelihood of decompression sickness is somewhere around, say, 2 episodes per 10,000 dives.
Right.
Okay? Mm-hmm. That's a pretty low risk. So if you increase that by fivefold, you'd go to 10 per 10,000 or 1 in 1,000. So the incidence, even in people with PFOs, of having decompression sickness is only 1 in 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we do not routinely screen for them. We don't routinely close them if they're just incidentally found. And the only time you close them is if people are diving as conservatively as they can, because the problem is not the PFO, it's the nitrogen loading, okay, or helium if you're diving trimix,
right.
The inert gas loading, and not the PFO per se. So anything that limits your inert gas, nitrogen, helium, absorption will decrease your likelihood of decompression sickness, whether or not you have a PFO.
Hmm.
So we first have people dive conservatively. And then secondly, if despite diving conservatively, they have recurrent episodes of decompression sickness of the type associated with PFO, then PFO closure is an option. Okay. And it's a select group of people. I would not recommend everybody with a PFO get closed. I would not recommend everybody with a PFO who gets bent get closed. It's a very much a one-on-one discussion. These appointments in my office are 30 minutes to an hour because mm-hmm. We go over all the stuff with this individual person.
Right.
As an example, the 25% of people have a PFO. So you'd expect 25% of people who get bent have a PFO.
Mm-hmm.
So the question always is it an innocent bystander, okay, or was it contributory? Okay. Like you, I don't play golf, but 25% of people who slice their tee shot have a PFO. I'm pretty confident the PFO has nothing to do with why their golf game is so bad.
I mean, the bottom line is there's a lot of variables at play and you have to
Absolutely.
Get the proper consultation before you make that decision. It makes sense. All right. We got more with Dr. Doug Ebersole next on Scuba Radio.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.